Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer and then go into our morning of worship. Father, we do love you. We love to study the Word of God. We love to assemble ourselves with one another, worship you. Pray that all is glorifying to Christ this morning. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song.
Good morning. Always be prepared. You never know when the Lord will press you into service. Let's see. We're going to start this morning with hymn number 393, Onward Christian Soldiers, 393. I think that's what the one I've got pulled up on the CD is. But and I haven't listened to the CD in advance, so I think it's got all four verses. But if it doesn't, we'll just carry on without it. I will not be doing a solo up here, so you guys have to sing loud with me, okay? All rise at 393, Onward Christian Soldier.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. The cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. At the shout of praise, brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on. Church of God, brothers, we are training where the saints have trod. We are not divided with one body, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, heavenly people, join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Loud and honor unto Christ the King, this through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on.
Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is going to be from 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, miscellaneous gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding the form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these, For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth, men of depraved mind rejected in regard to faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be oblivious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Now you follow by teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and what persecutions have endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may sound in faith, not paying attention to Jewish myth and commandments of men who turn away from truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed.
Okay, I'm on a learning curve here. Bear with me. Our next hymn this morning is going to be The Church's One Foundation on page 236. The Church's One Foundation. Let's have a little, let's rise and have a little projection on this one, ladies and gentlemen. Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. And the young blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Restarted, or if they knew a verse we didn't know. Okay.
Yep. Let me get on this. Can we hear? Okay. Good. All right. All right. Well, good to see you all this morning. I'm going to be leading you in our prayer and for our offertory. Let's see, prayer requests. The Dags are still traveling, and please keep them. They should be back with us next week. But I don't know if you saw the prayer request this week. Lori Dags' father, Larry, our lifeguard, pressed into service. You know, got to be prepared, right, for summer camp when we first started out. And he's, of course, proud grandpa of the Dagg boys, so he's been involved in our church. He and his lovely wife, Beth. He is going to be battling colon cancer for in 6 weeks. He starts, in 2 weeks, he begins chemo and radiation, and then after 6 weeks of chemo and radiation every week, or every day of the week, they're going to make a reevaluation and see if they need to do a resection or whatever. That's the new protocol, I understand, for colon cancer. So he is in for a long struggle. And for all that he's done for our congregation is going to struggle with him and keep him in prayer this whole time. It's a long battle, okay? And but we are assured that God holds him in his hand as a believer, and we'll be with him every step of the way. Let's see, other prayer requests. Of course, we're continuing to pray for Tish and her health concerns. All Terry wants for her birthday this year is a better elbow. So we pray that she's blessed on her birth week here and that her elbow heals quickly. And yeah, and that pinched nerve. That's the tricky part. Yeah. So she's got a bum elbow on this side and a bum wrist on this side. So she definitely needs our prayers. Doing a Tyrannosaurus impersonation. Yeah. A broken wing. Do you have any other prayer requests from before this morning?
Well, one, Bobby's got to go in and see an orthopedic doctor. So his muscle is separated from the bone in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he saw his back doctor, they said, we knew there was something going on there, but it was too bruised to even deal with. You know, we had to get your back right. But now it's causing him a lot of pain, so he's going to go see this doc. It's probably something he's going to have a surgery on, I bet.
Yeah.
It's hurting him, and it's really large. It's like the whole muscle is just pulled away from the bone. Yeah. So I don't, yeah, that's all we know until he sees that orthopedic. So I know he's already been in our prayers for healing, and but there's just one more thing to deal with.
One more thing for Bobby.
Giving drugs for heal the pain.
Well, he's on medication already for the back, and so that's all. It'll be the same thing.
It'll be the same thing.
Yeah.
But he's doing really well. He started walking with a cane. More and more with his therapist. He's not doing it so much on his own yet, but he's almost to a cane.
Almost to a cane. Awesome. And as far as his back goes, the next big step will be strong enough to take the shell off, huh?
Yeah, 6 more weeks of that, and then they'll go to a soft shell.
Mm.
Yeah, he'll still have to wear some sort of shell, probably for a whole year, I think.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. Okay. Martha, how's your knee healing up?
Right knee is doing well. They're going to do the left one on Wednesday.
Oh, goodness. and then it's time for another cruise.
Absolutely.
Good. Katarina, got home safely?
Yes, Katarina got home safely. No problems. Yes. Got all her stuff. She came over with one suitcase, went home with three.
All right. That's the way you do it.
Did you take the Bengay with her?
She's got all kinds of stuff. the big thing is absorbing Junior. My big fat wedding. It's Windex, not in our family. In our family, it's absorbing Junior.
It fixes everything. Okay, and of course. Keeping Judith on our constant prayer list until the doctors can figure out what's going on there. It's not fun to live with pain. And it's as big a distraction for Herman as it is for her, I'm sure. Yeah. So please keep Judith in your prayers. Herman always in your prayers. Mike Bell, I don't know if any of you remember Mike. He used to come occasionally. He lives in Tyler, old friend of Herman's and mine. He's a one of the few people I still know that was on the ordaining committee for me when I was ordained in Houston. So he's the last of my bona fides. I'm going to have to get reordained if something happens to Mike. So he's suffering some problems with dementia and needs our prayers, please. Let's get Mike Bell, Belle, on our list and cover him in prayers for his struggle. Yes, ma'am.
Also have a prayer and thanksgiving. 2 months ago, I let everybody know that one of my colleagues was kidney cancer. Very successful operation. They do not plan to do any additional treatment.
Awesome.
And he's feeling good and eating normal and it's super good.
Praise indeed. Yeah. Tell him we did that. Come to church with us.
All the kids go to Harvest Christian Academy, if you know where that is. Fort Worth, he's a big, the whole family is there.
Okay, awesome. In Fort Worth, right? Yeah, we had the private school version of UIL. We had that competition there 1 year when I was in a private school here. Anyway, so, small world, huh? Yeah. Any other prayer requests today? Well, let's lift up our fellow members and prepare for the offertory. Our offertory was great. It was good in July. We met our need in July. So we're trying to keep even in August here. We're just plugging along, and we're still collecting funds for Linus ACFA. If you are so led, you can earmark that when you make a donation online, or you can just write it on the four in on your check. And Jeff will be diligent to catch those and put those funds aside so we can get all that money to Linus when we finish collecting it. The goal would be $6,000 because that's about how much he needs for a new car, or a used car, to help him in his ministry. But he lives on about $75 a month stipend from the government. And his wife raises chickens, and they have a little farm spot. So I often, in addition to his praise and pictures of his outreach, I often see chickens for sale, eggs for sale on his Facebook feed. So he would appreciate anything that we can give him. He's an awesome heart for the Lord. He goes to places where nobody goes and gives the gospel, and will dunk them in any standing body of water nearby. He also has an orphanage outreach in the city where he lives, and is constantly working with them. He doesn't like the stigma of calling them orphans, so he calls them onward children. Onward Christian soldiers, right? And so he also has needs there as well. So we are, when the days get back and the smoke settles after summer here, we'll be having our planning meeting for the youth group to see what's coming up in the next year. So you'll get an update on that.
Where is Linus?
I'm sorry?
Where is he?
Linus is in Nigeria, in the southeast corner of Nigeria, area known as Cross Rivers.
Okay.
Yeah. So one good thing is he's not in the area that's very active. That's up north where they have the militant army of Muslims killing Christians outright. But he does have many widows that have come down from up there that are in the villages where he's ministering. And he takes that command to take care of the widows and the orphans very seriously. Okay. Any other? Okay. Then let's approach the Lord in grace, please. Heavenly Father, how marvelous it is that you have saved us and given us this little body of believers that we can pray for one another and lift each other up for every hardship that this devil's world can throw at us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with Larry and Beth and help them in his journey and comfort that whole family and guide them as they take care of Larry through this process. We pray for Bobby's continued strengthening and for wisdom for his doctors and his shoulder. We pray for Judith and her health concerns. Heavenly Father, just find the doctor that would find the right thing to help her out. Heavenly Father, we pray for Herman Always and in his studying and teaching. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Mike Bell's health concerns and all those lifted up today, Lord, we pray you would hold them in your precious hand and guide them, heal them, and help them rely on you greater and greater.
We pray, Heavenly Father, for this offertory. We ask that all that is given today would be used to glorify your Son and spread your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, these things for the glory of your Son, for he deserves all glory. And it's in his name that we pray, sir. Amen.
Sing happy, okay?
Amen.
Just pipe it out there this time. We're going to go with 403, hymn number 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
That's
all right. What a Friend We Have in Jesus, hymn number 403.
Be in Revelation 2 and 3, and then next week we'll continue into the Revelation and complete the study, but right now it's Revelation 2 and 3 dealing with the church, and so let's begin with a word of prayer and then get to work in our study. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's so important to understand, to know the church, your design for the church, your purpose for the church, the person of Jesus Christ. Pray that your Spirit, Father, will bring us to an understanding, to a joy, to understanding, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right. Revelation 2, chapters for the church. Oh, okay. All right. And church history is not just about America. The church extends over the period of the two studies in Revelation 2 and 3. Very important, this church study is about the church, not individuals, but about the church. Jesus Christ now speaks in regards to seven churches. We have seven churches in the seven in the church age that are given about the history and layout of the church all the way through history. You can set aside the rapture and the tribulation and concentrate for a few moments on the service of each of the seven churches. As it gets close to the end of the church age, local churches should serve the Lord all the more and do more diligently. Church should concentrate on the growth of knowledge of the Word of God. But this is what, as we're going to learn, is a great battle. Now, at the close of the church age, we may be close to it, apostasy increases. We had the reading of the Bible this morning in Timothy, which dealt that very passage with the apostasy increasing at the close of the end of the church age. This is why churches should pay close attention to every problem mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. The Greek word apostasy means fallen away. That is, fallen away from the truth. As you move away from the truth, especially at the end of the age of the church, so many will be enticed by money and by the desires of the world, and we'll move to that point. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter days, where we apparently are on, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention, falling away from the truth, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as will with a branding iron. Now, you should be aware of the most of the attacks and cults going on in the church. Satan moves against the church, against falling angels. He will move against the churches in so many different ways of what we have today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. And I understand that that's about where we are in the world today. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, not with the Word of God, but with their own desires. And they will turn their eyes away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Myths is, and truth is just really high today. Now, what I'm going to do now is look at seven things picked up by Jesus Christ in the study of the seven churches, six churches. The church under Jesus Christ's study. One, the church will continually move against love toward Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians, but it also is right today. Secondly, the church will continue tribulation, and Satan will bring sufferings to the church. God the Father defeats Satan, but he is at work. 3, the church will constantly be attacked with false teaching and to compromise the belief of the Word of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is very important in the study of churches. 4, the church will constantly be attacked to follow false prophets. What's going on today? Be prey by cultures, cult, and cults are growing very highly today. The power is the Word of God that you and I have. 5, some churches will be spiritually dead and will be the living dead. This happens by abandoning life in the Holy Spirit. The church will constantly need to be in prayer, but stop doing it. 6, here are the churches who can maintain their faith despite tribulation. The church will live by grace. And then finally, 7, many churches are lukewarm. It is easy to become complacent in faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The church should remain holy. Now, let's move through a reading. And what we're going to do, because we're not going to be studying one at a time, so let's read the first one and then know some things about it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands, says this. Of course, this refers to Jesus Christ. Now, I know your deeds. So he's talking about the church at Ephesus. And as I said, churches throughout church age. I know your deeds and your toil, perseverance, and you cannot tolerate evil men. There will be some churches like that. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles to the test, and they are not. And you follow them, and you found them to be false.
Hey,
yes?
Okay, question. The one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand is a reference to the 7 churches?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's Jesus Christ who holds it.
Okay.
Verse 3, and you have perseverance and have endured by my name's sake and have not grown weary. This has been wonderful about the church up to verse 3. Now verse 5. But, there's that word in the Bible, the New Testament, but I have this against you. I, Jesus Christ, have this against you, that you have left your first love. The church has. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I am coming to you. I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, the thing I want you to do here, of the 7 churches, this is the only one God's just going to take out. Flat take them out if they've lost their love. Now, verse 6. Yet this you do have, you hate the deeds of Nicodemus, which I also hate. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. The Holy Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Here's the blessing for the church, each church of the church age. I will grant you to eat the tree of life. Now, here was a church that was doctrinally sound, but cold. It did not work. The Hebrew chapter 6, they have fallen away. But God has not forgotten their love and your good works. People, you can be right theologically, but if you have lost your first love for Jesus Christ, then your theology is nothing but cold academics. And that's what a lot of churches are. Not a lot, some are. Here is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the powerful combination of sound doctrine and the love of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit that makes a church in all the churches through the history of church age what it is before God. Now, let's take a look at the second church, the church of Smyrna. Smyrna. The church suffers to glorify Christ. Not many want to do that. Galatians 2:8, and to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, that's Jesus Christ, says this, I know your tribulations. I know your poverty, but you're rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear about what you are about to suffer. Everything said about this church is bad, except good from then, but bad in the conflict. But the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not just this church, all the churches, plural. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Now, let's take a look at it. America has never, to this point, been under this kind of suffering that Gordon talked about here, that Smyrna had to take. But what about the church in Nigeria? The one just mentioned. One of the worst churches in the world as far as suffering today. The church of Sudan. The church in China. They are suffering in tribulation. 10,000 Christians have suffered in communist China. It started at the beginning of the church age with Smyrna, and as it is reached and to falter to further lands around the world, the ones like the ones I just read, and suffers today. Satan comes after them to slaughter Christians, kill Christians. And to them Christ himself comes and offers them blessing to them. Satan is centered in the suffering, but Christ offers a crown of life. Now, the third church, the church of Pergamum, Revelation 2:3-12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell. I know where you dwell, where certain Satan dwells in thrones. And you hold firmly to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, by a faithful man, faithful one, who has killed among you where Satan dwells. But, here comes our word, but, I have a few things against you. Because you have some there among the teaching, the way of Balaam. So, there are some good people in the church, some bad people in the church, who after the study of the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. So, you too have some who, in the same way, hold the teaching of Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. This is said to him over and over to churches, to repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will wage war against you with the church of Ephesus. It's going to remove their being. This church will just be waged to war against the sword of my mouth. 2:17. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, to the one who overcomes. I will, now listen to this, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and give a new name written on the stone, which no one knows, they'll know that day, except the one who receives it. So this is blessings for the different churches going along. Every church throughout church age is attacked by Satan, who is the prince of the world. Every church is attacked by the teaching of the Word of God, to set down the word, the truth of the Word of God, to satisfy the world. Therefore, there is the need every hour for the Holy Spirit. Satan is always attacked, but the Holy Spirit is greater than Satan. The fourth church, the church of Thyatira. Verse 18, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, the Son of God, who writes like a flame of fire, and feet like burnstone, bronzed, that says the following: I know your deeds, your love, this one is love, and faith, and service. So this one has deeds, love, faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than of first. Wow. Just stop right there. Say no more. Wait a minute. But, there it is. I have this against you, the local church, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent. I love that. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with plague, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. This is what he does for churches. I search their minds and their hearts, and I will give you to each one of you according to your deeds. But, there it is, but I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no burden along for them. Nevertheless, what you have, hold firmly until I come. The one who overcomes and the one who keeps my deeds until the end, I will give you authority over the nations. So here's another blessing to them. And he shall rule them. More blessing. A rod of iron. As the vessel, vessel of the potter are shattered. As also I have received authority from my Father, God the Father. And I will give him the morning star. This means you in the church age. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Every church is attacked with immorality. Today, she is very attacked with the lowest form of immorality in homosexuality and transgender. There will be a few in the assembly who will continue to hold on the truth of the Word of God. Immorality leads to all kinds of sin. Now, the real problem is that this attack on the Word of God attacks, now listen, attacks the Word of God, but it attacks the gospel. All through the church age, the gospel has been attacked. It's called the social gospel, the hard works gospel, and so forth. The one who will continue, who will remain in the truth, will give authority in the future time. And then the fifth one, the Church of Sardis. Church of Sardis, chapter 3. To the angel of the Church of Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds and that your name, that you are alive and you're dead. This means I know you're saved, but you don't function. You know you're alive, but you're dead. Be constantly alarmed and strengthened the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So, remember what you have received and heard. Remember what you've received, what you've heard, and keep it, and repent. So over and over, it's repentance. Repent. Then, if you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come at you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white. So there will be those who will be believers standing to the truth. The one who overcomes will not clothe the same way in white garments, and I will not erase his name from among the book of life, and I will confess his name. This is beautiful. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, here's some understanding of it. Here's a church with people doing things for the church, but the church is dead. How do people become dead? How does the church become dead? They never walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not taught about in the church, not talked about in the church. When they do walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, they are inactive to life. When they do not walk in the Spirit, they are inactive in life. And are just as they are dead. But a few believers in this church walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in the power of the love of Christ. The sixth one is the Church of Philadelphia. Here it is. Verse 7. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, there's the holiness, and is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, it's a working church. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have followed my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, it's here, who say that they are Jews and are not lie and do not lie. I will make them come and bow down before you, before your feet, and make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word, what a beautiful thing to say, because you have kept my word of perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing. That's the second, that's the tribulation. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. The tribulation will be over the whole world. Okay? I am coming quickly. Jesus Christ is coming quickly. Hold firmly to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the city Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. A new name I will give. The name, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, a few things. This is a church which lives and serves by grace. Satan works hard, But the people answer him with grace. And they counter in works of the Holy Spirit. This church does not deny Jesus Christ. You will notice in some of the churches how the Jews fight against the teaching of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ stands against the Jewish attack and stands for the church in Philadelphia. Now one more. The Church of Laodicea. To the angel of the Church of Laodicea write, the men, the amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of creation of God, says this. This is what Jesus Christ says. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot, which means positive, cold, which means negative, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, and you have become wealthy, and have no need of anything, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now the church of Smyrna was poor, but very rich. This church said it very rich, but they were very poor, and wretched, and miserable, blind, naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. That's the word of God. So that you may become rich. You may become rich. And white your garments, so that you may clothe yourself in the shame of being naked, be clothed and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And I solve it to apply to your eyes, so that you may see. Thus whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And therefore he will not rebuke. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him. How beautiful that is. And he will with me. Then verse 21, the one who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with my throne, and I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay. In the coming of this constant battle of apostasy, as we're getting close to it in history, as shown by Laodicea, you will notice, listen to this now, Satan is not mentioned, the Jews are not mentioned, neither the battle of the church is mentioned. They take themselves completely out of the battle, but not worshiping Christ. This is the church that sickens Christ. It does not deny the gospel. It does not even mention the gospel. Doesn't deny it, doesn't accept it, doesn't even deal with it. Now, chapters 2 and 3 that we just read center on how things will be in eternity. They end with that. That's how I want to end today. They end on the ends of eternity. There are seven promises from Christ to those who overcome in the church. That's you and I. 2:7, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. Get to eat of the tree of life. 2:7, not hurt by the second death. Not involve the second death. 17, given some of hidden manna and a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows. So I don't know and you don't know. 26, given authority. They're given authority over the nations, given authority to rule over the nations. And he is given the morning star. You'll be given the morning star. Go to chapter 3. He will be clothed in white garments. That's what you and I will be having on. And his name is not erased by the book of life. And he will have his name confessed before God the Father. He will be made of a pillar in the temple of my God. He will be granted to sit down with Jesus on his throne. These are all blessings you're going to get. So people, there are blessings waiting for every one of us in the future. Close it. To him who loves us and released from our sins by his blood, by his own death, and he made us to be the kingdom, to be a kingdom, priest of his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. For all eternity, believers, Jews, Gentiles, will have a love for Jesus Christ for all eternity and will wear a crown of righteousness and glory. Eternity is filled with mysteries and secrets as hidden manna as of all eternity. There is the authority over the nation for all of us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Now next Sunday we'll begin with Revelation chapter 4 that starts now the study of Revelation and what will happen in the tribulation and the millennium. Let's close in prayer. The most wonderful words of Revelation 2 and 3 are the promises from Jesus Christ. Promises that you will give to believers. How wonderful we are in that understanding. Father, we just praise you. It is our desire to be that way in our life, that in eternity we can live those seven things, seven blessings. Father, we praise you in Christ's name, for Christ's glory. Amen.